Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Happy Monday. Sorry for the delay, Tampa Bay. How are you? This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all year long, all hockey season long, by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Real life got in the way on Friday, so this week we are doubling up on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast as the Lightning get back to playing hockey, thankfully. It's been a bye week, and now just a couple more days until we start the second half, quote-unquote, of the season. Pittsburgh Penguins are the opponent. We play on national TV Wednesday night. We will have a podcast again Thursday. And then I think we'll go back to Fridays after that. But I am in talks with the folks, the higher-ups, the people I have to answer to at JoeBucksFan.com. Since we are in NFL offseason, we may move it to Thursday. We shall see. I'll keep you posted. I'll have that answer for you by Thursday of this week. It is January the 28th. Monday, January the 28th. The year of our Lord, 2019. And Tampa Bay, well, there were 2 points available to the Tampa Bay Lightning since last we spoke, and that was a finale to this portion of the season where Tampa was hosting San Jose, a team we had just lost to not that long ago when we played out in the Shark Tank. We beat the San Jose Sharks in that game. I believe the final was 6-3. It was so long ago, I've almost forgotten what that game looked like. But a couple of good notes. Yanni Gourde, who I talked about at length last time we spoke, finally scores a goal. It had been a long time since number 37 had scored a goal, but his game was, he was not going to be denied. It is really starting to peak at the right time, and 37 was rewarded with a bad angle goal off of a crazy carom. That's how he's going to get his offense. It's not going to be by creating his own space at the top of the circles and letting one fly. That's reserved for Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and those types of players. Victor Hedman, another player I talked about as somebody whose game, the Norris Trophy level that he's been playing at of late, that was a positive development. First half of the season, first 20, 30 games that he played. I know he was injured for a little bit in that time. Not so hot. Game coming to life. The symptom of his game coming to life and his instincts being where they need to be, then the offense comes and follows with it. And that's what we saw from 77 as his shot, if he's between the circles, it's an underrated wrister or snapshot. Really accurate, and it gets off quicker than goalies seem to expect. They don't read it very well. Kind of reminds me of Ruslan Fedotenko in that sense. So where do we stand right now? Okay, 49 games played, 76 points. Nobody else in the Eastern Conference has more than 63. Toronto has finally been passed for position 2 in the Eastern Conference. The Maple Leafs have 62 points. And really interesting stuff coming down these last 30-plus games. The Atlantic Division and the Metropolitan Division are taking no prisoners when you're looking at vying for seeding, staying within your own half of the bracket, and the wild cards. It is packed. Tampa, thankfully, we are above the fray. And as long as we don't completely fall flat on our face, we are going to stay above the fray. But Toronto, through 49 games played, has 62 points. The Habs, through 51, have 61 points. Boston has 59 points. And then you look over the Metropolitan Division, the Islanders have 63. Washington has 60. Columbus has 59. And the Pens have 58. It's going to be jam-packed. You know most of the players here. Buffalo, Carolina, they have an outside chance to get back in this conversation. The Rangers and the Panthers have to do an awful lot to get back into the playoff conversation. But there are a ton of teams packed together within a 5-point window. 7 of them, in fact, packed within a 5-point window in the Eastern Conference. There are going to be a ton of important games and a ton of desperate teams playing between now and mid-April when the regular season is over. I did promise that this episode of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast would be one of those where I'd just take a look at the roster as a whole. Anybody who has played meaningful minutes, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on them in no particular order. Not going to do letter grades. I think letter grades are overrated. But if you just talk about the trends of what we've seen through 49 games, a good start. He's finishing a little bit slow as we get to the All-Star break, vice versa. You know the candidates there for those types of talking points. Before I do that, a quick story, and then a word from our friends at Bill Curry Ford. And this story has nothing to do with our friends at Bill Curry Ford, but driving the roadways, there is something in the air. Yes, that's right. Traffic talk. I am getting older, and so I remark on these things, but I grew up Clearwater, Sunset Point, US 19. It was rated one of the most dangerous intersections in the United States of America because of how many fatalities it had in a given year. We could go the other way by Old Coachman out to Drew in 19, and that was also rated at a different time, one of the most dangerous intersections in America. Tampa Road and US 19 was rated as one of the most dangerous intersections in the entire United States. So I've seen a lot of crazy stuff growing up in Tampa. And obviously, if you actually live in Hillsborough and you're on 275 going by downtown, all the construction over the years between the airport and downtown, or you're up by USF where people take crazy chances as that thing gets up to about 55, 60 miles an hour and they're on Fowler or Bears up that way. Tampa and Florida driving in general is not for the faint of heart, but Tallahassee has to take the title belt for something crazy that I've never even fathomed that I would ever see before. And before I get into that, Tallahassee is a much different place to drive. If you went to school here and you live in the Tampa area, hell, if you're listening to this podcast and you still live up here, you get it. It's kind of like Ocala in this sense. There's not a lot of roads that you can go 45 or 50 and legally do so. Most everything is about 35 miles an hour. So in order for there to be a multi-car pileup or there's, you know, a plume of smoke and fire on the road, something really has to go wrong, mostly like a flooded roadway. It's really hard to have the type of, you know, crazy accident you see every day on the highways in Tampa Bay. So here we are. We're at a red light, and it's one of those standard intersections where you have a green arrow going both ways, and those are both green at the same time before you get to go on your own merry way. So left-hand turn lane is doing what it does. I'm going to go straight as I head on into work. It's an intersection with a Publix at the corner. There's only about, 800,000 of those in the state of Florida. So it's a very routine drive into work. I'm about a half mile away from the house. So the green arrows expire, and they're linked up. They're timed exactly the same. We've got a green light, and it's our time to go. I'm second in line. I'm behind a blue Toyota Prius that doesn't want to hit the gas. My man, I guess, no doubt, as a Toyota Prius driver, got a notification from Whole Foods telling him that almonds are on sale. Maybe cashews. I don't know. That would be pretty cool, though. Cashews are expensive. Anyway, he's locked into whatever he's seeing. I'm not quite ready to honk the horn yet. And coming at us is a guy who sees that the Prius is asleep at the wheel, quite literally. So he darts across the traffic. He says, the hell with this red arrow. I don't give a damn. So he makes the left. Okay. He's more than safe because Toyota Prius guy doesn't react in time. It's a bit of a risk about the lane to the right of me. Anyway, he makes it, no big deal. So the Prius begins, finally, after a 2 or 3 second delay, to proceed in the direction that we need to go. Well, not only is that first guy that cut across the Prius the one who comes through the light, not only is there one guy behind him, still more, there's not just two people that follow, not three. Four more cars run a red arrow, and so we are sitting there honking our horns, avoiding death and disaster for a full 10 to 12 seconds as four more cars say the hell with the rules. We need to go where we're going. And the crazy thing is, it's not even rush hour. It's like 10:30 in the morning. But I watched five cars blatantly go through a red arrow light at a 35-mile-an-hour each-way intersection and nearly cause a 10 to 15-car pileup in Tallahassee, Florida. So there's something in the water. If you can stay indoors, do so. And if you can find some public transportation so you don't put your own self at injury risk or insurance risk, then do it. Because I don't know what the hell I just witnessed, and I get it. Old man yells at cloud. I've seen the Simpsons. I'm getting older, and so these things, they shake me up. But in all my years of driving in Tampa, you see crazy stuff all the time, and this sets a new record. You know who's been setting records, though? Our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Their sales, they're through the roof, and you should be jumping your way on Dale Mabry right now, safely, of course, over to Bill Curry Ford, because they're giving away a 65-inch television with every vehicle purchase. Sean Sullivan wants you to watch all the Bolts games and the NFL postseason. There's just one more of those. In style and enjoy yourself a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles only at Bill Curry Ford. Just a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom is always a great experience. Start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Taking a quick break, come right back and give you a rundown of all the bolts on the roster if they played any meaningful time whatsoever. So that means I'm not counting you, Danik Martell. I'm going to talk about him, and we'll do so right after this.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
These breakdowns usually take a little bit of time, so we'll leave some music underneath as we do the breaking down and the analyzing. No letter grades, no letter grades, just observations. My guitar gently weeps. That will be the first track that we enjoy the stylings of. No particular order. A particular order. We'll do it from the plus minus rating on the team. A little bit arbitrary, but that's how I'm going to sort it. JT Miller is the first guy we're talking about. He's played 43 games so far this season, 7 goals, 20 assists. That's 27 points for you math majors out there. JT started out better production-wise than he's been of late. He just doesn't see a whole lot of minutes with the top six. You can tell he's frustrated of late. He's another person that I talked about. I think his game is coming around just before the break, and he had an assist on one of the first goals against San Jose. There need to be injuries in order for JT Miller to see more time. I think he's been passed up on the power play, and certainly he's not a top six forward. I hate that for him, but he's one of the casualties of having the kind of depth that we do. He's a minus one for the season. Also a minus one is Steven Stamkos, who is lighting it up, guys. I mean, we're closing in on 50 games, and he's got 26 goals, 31 assists, 57 points, and I don't care what the plus minus says. He has been outstanding. He's been so much better in the faceoff circle for us this year. He's a shade under 55%. He's at 54.7% so far this season, putting him in the conversation as one of the best in the game. I never thought I'd say that about Steven Stamkos, that he would be one of the best in the game at taking faceoffs. But look at it. Key situations, last 5 minutes of the third period, defensive zone draw. It might not even be his line out there, and he is taking that big draw for us. Penalty kill. He'll peel off on a change if he can win the draw and you get the clear, but he's out there specifically for the faceoff. And, of course, the goal-scoring touch that I talked about last week, he's skating free and easy. He looks comfortable in his own skin. He does not look afraid of injury, afraid of favoring something that might get hurt again. If he scores, even strength-wise, independent of the Nikita Kucherov line, if he does not have to play with 86, we are almost impossible to beat. Braden Coburn is a plus two. So how about that? Just two Tampa Bay Lightning players are in the minus in the plus-minus discussion. That is outstanding. I remember when our best player would be like minus 12, like Mike Johnson or Ryan Johnson or somebody back in the day. Braden Coburn, he's played 45 games. He's now part of that rotation of guys that sit out every once in a while as we try and shuffle our seven defensemen, our seven primary guys. 3 goals, 8 assists, 11 points, but he is not afraid to get involved in the rush. Braden Coburn's skating ability has improved a ton year to year. Usually you don't see this in a later portion of somebody's career, but he's kind of reinvented himself, or at least he's turned back the hands of time. He is willing to get up in the rush, sometimes all too willing. I'd rather see one of our better forwards involved between the circles, but Braden is he's not tentative. He's also, I think, one of our best six. So Braden Coburn, solid start to the year. I don't really care how much you produce in terms of points. It's nice that you keep teams honest up the rush, but he's one of our best six defensemen. Andre Palat, okay, his Lightning's record with him is absolutely ridiculous. He missed a ton of games, but we only have whatever it is, 3-4 losses, regulation losses, when he plays in a game. 33 games played, 7 goals, 13 assists. He's one of those players where he's never going to put up jaw-dropping 70, 80-point seasons, but he is vital to the integrity of what you do in the defensive zone. He is vital to playing with a little bit of physical edge in the top six. He's just a really smart player, and he wins you pucks along the wall. Cedric Paquette has been a revelation this year through 48 games. That's right, he's played all but one game. That's really important for a fourth liner, but he's played all but one game. That's how much they trust him. 8 goals, 2 assists. The 8 goals, he got on a hot streak there a few weeks ago. He's 52% in the dot. Nice, Seti. Nice. And he's not taking dumb penalties. He has 50 penalty minutes for the year. I don't remember all too many examples of him taking stupid penalties. So if he does that and he continues to play like the little gnat that he is, all the better for us. He has gotten better year to year. He was one of my favorite guys to complain about last season. This year, no way. He's just fine. Cedric Paquette is a plus player for us, and he's a reason we can roll 4 lines. We don't have to even think about playing 7 defensemen. Seti P, good first half to the season. Hopefully he continues to play as smart as he has the rest of the way. Matthew Joseph, 41 games played. He got benched recently because of a bad penalty he took in Dallas, but he scores the other night. 12 goals for the rookie, 12 goals, 5 assists. He plays 4th-line minutes, sometimes 3rd-line minutes. He's a blazer. You have to pay attention when Matthew Joseph is on the ice if you're the opponents. It's like Kasperi Kapanen for Toronto. A solid first half for a rookie. I mean, it's an incomplete grade. I don't know what type of player we can expect him to be overall, but he's with those strides, man, he is going to generate a lot of offensive chances for himself for a long, long time in this league. We'll see what kind of finisher he is. Yanni Gourde, game has been really rounding into form. 12 goals, 18 assists, has 30 points through 49 games played. He's 54% in the faceoff circle. Doesn't take nearly as many as Steven Stamkos does, but I love that line right now of Palat Gourde with Steven Stamkos in the middle. Talked about him a lot last week, so we'll move on there. But Yanni has been a good player. We extended him, and he looks comfortable with the burden of the expectation of having a long-term deal, guaranteed money. Doesn't look like he's taking his foot off the gas at all. He's a gritty, smaller Brian Boyle type. Great for the playoffs. Ryan Callahan threw 40 games played. He feels like he's missed more, but he's only missed 9 games. He's got 5 goals, 7 assists, 12 points. His legs look heavy. He's getting older. I really loved what we saw to Ryan Callahan in the playoffs last year. I thought he was our best forward. If not, he was our 2nd best forward against Washington in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's a bit of a slight to a guy like a Stamkos or a Kucherov, but it also is just he was comprehensively all over the ice in all 3 zones. And he was a factor. Not so much this year. I don't know if he's saving himself for the playoffs, but he's a +5 on the season. Face-off circle, he doesn't do much for you these days, 31%. He's a role player, and you can't put a price on what he does in the dressing room in terms of leadership. So that's what Ryan Callahan is these days. Adam Ernie has played just 34 games. I wish he played more. I love this guy. I love this player. He's got 6 goals, 8 assists. I feel like every goal he scores is a big one, though. You know, game winner, game tire. Insurance goal in the 3rd period. He's got much better hockey sense than the scouting report would indicate. He was considered to be kind of a Ryan Callahan clone in that, you know, he's grittier. But I love his hockey IQ, his understanding of spacing. Adam Ernie is a big piece. He's a role player plus. I think he could catch some minutes with the top 6 if you have to rest a couple of guys or you have a rash of injuries here in the second half. He's going to continue to rise. His minutes, his time, the trust the organization puts in him. Adam Ernie is a good player to bet on. Mikhail Sergachev coming along later in the season. Mikhail finally scored a goal. I believe it was... Oh, what game was it? Was it the Dallas game on the road? I think that's where he got his first one. If not, that was his 2nd. No, it was the San Jose one. Sorry, he tied the game at 2 in San Jose. So he's got 2 goals, 16 assists, 18 points. He's played 45 games. We don't really see him on the power play because Hedman does such a good job. But Sergachev is... He looks much more comfortable in his own skin now that he scored a couple of goals. Plus offensive player, as long as he's an average to slightly above average defenseman in his own zone, he's somebody you got to play night in and night out. Dan Girardi, 46 points, 3 goals, 9 assists, or 46 games played, 3 goals, 9 assists. I think he's the odd man out. I get it that we like him on the penalty kill. I think he's the odd man out when he gets into the playoffs in the defensive rotation. But he's been as... much as you could expect when we signed him a couple years ago, probably more. I think he's exceeded expectations, but nothing spectacular. Tyler Johnson, huge start to the season for him. Conversations about comeback player of the year and all that. Through 47 games, played 18 goals, 16 assists. He's 48% in the dot. That's pretty good, but he's a part of one of the most dynamic lines in the game. We would like to see a little bit of a surge from him in the second half, looking like he did for the first 20 games of the year. But he's been a pleasant surprise. Preseason expectations compared to now, you have to say, really good first half for him. Anton Strahlman missed a ton of hockey. He's played 31 games so far this season. That probably bodes well for his legs in a playoff run. He's got 12 points, 2 goals in that time. He's close to having 6 or 7 goals. I like his shot. He really likes the short side upper 90. So if he's coming in to the goalie's left, he really likes to try and tuck it in just above his shoulder. But Anton is he's solid. These next 30 or so games are going to go a long way in determining if Anton Strahlman is a part of the future or not, and for what price we would offer him. It's a big, big few months for Anton Strahlman, so we'll see what he does. Eric Chernak has been the surprise of the first half. No doubt he has been the surprise of the first half. 28 games played, 7 assists, no goals yet. Still looking for that first goal. But he brings a physical element to our defensive core that we just have never had. And that's going to be important to come to playoffs. The only key with him, will Chernak's legs be available to him for a playoff run? You're asking a lot out of a kid like this to play a lot of minutes and a lot of games at a level that he's never played before. And then to continue to do so in the postseason, that's a lot. I know that's me saying the word a lot, but it's true. Eric Chernak, though, it's a lot of fun to watch him play. Tony C, Anthony Cirelli, you got to love this guy, man. He's 51%+ in the dot, 49 games played. He's on your shutdown line, at least your second shutdown line, if you're counting the point line as number one in that regard. But Tony C draws a lot of minutes against top six, and he doesn't bat an eyelash. 9 goals, 10 assists. If you can be anywhere close to 15, 20 goals in a shutdown role, and with the minutes that a third liner gets, that's awesome. And to do so at his age, penalty killer, the whole thing. Alex Killorn plays with Tony C a lot this year. He's got 11 goals, 14 assists. More goals than I thought he did have, but through 49 games played, he's played in every single game. 25 points for him, and he's another guy who's a good penalty killer. Just steady Eddie. Alex Killorn is what he is, and in the postseason, he likes to show up big, so hopefully he gets a chance to do that again. Victor Hedman, he missed 7 games earlier this year after suffering an injury. I think it was against Vegas. 7 goals, 26 assists. He's nearly a point-a-game player in the last, 20 games. He's been phenomenal of late. Slow start to the season. Underwhelming start to the season. But now he's starting to look a lot more like the Norris Trophy winner that we've come to know and love. He's a plus 14 on the year, by the way. Not that long ago, he was in the minus. So that's great news for us. Nikita Kucherov, 49 games played this year. He's played every single one, and aren't we thankful to watch 86 every night? I got on him after a bad night in Calgary, and I don't think he's played a bad game since. 78 points does Nikita Kucherov have. He's holding court and company with the likes of Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Ron Francis, and Jaromir Jagr in terms of points produced in games played. In the last 20, 25 years, nobody's touched the heights that Nikita Kucherov has in terms of production, except for Hall of Famers. Really fun to watch him play. And looks like we might have gotten him on the cheap when we signed him at 9.5 per in the offseason. Braden Point, what can you say? I think he's your best player right now overall. Nikita Kucherov is, like I said, in generational company, but Braden Point takes big draws. He's a much better defensive forward than Nikita Kucherov, and he's got 30 goals, 49 games played, 30 goals, 35 assists, a cool 65 points for 21, and Braden's played with a bunch of people this year. That dude is going to make an awful lot of money this offseason, and we need to pay him whatever he wants. An unsustainably high percentage, though, of his shots do go in the season, 23.6%. For comparison, Kucherov's at 16%. So Braden, when he shoots, he is scoring. He's taking high percentage looks, especially on that power play. Ryan McDonagh is the last guy we will look at least from the skaters. As my voice is getting hoarse, this is a long segment. Ryan McDonagh, a plus 20. He's got 5 goals, 21 assists, but he was your MVP of the first half on defense. He held everything down when Victor wasn't playing his best. He's mentored Chernak. Anton Strahlman's been up and down. Girardi hasn't been as good. Coburn is take it or leave it. Sergachev wasn't playing with as much confidence. 27 for the first 30-35 games was great. He's sliding a little bit. Keep an eye on that. But Ryan McDonagh has been integral to where we are in the standings. And then to the goalies. Louis Domingue. Okay, Louis Domingue. You've got 16 wins and 20 starts. That's absurd. That speaks to how good of a hockey team we are, but Louis stood tall for us when we needed him. That said, if he plays for us in the playoffs because Vasilevsky gets hurt, we're screwed. We need to score six a night. As to Vasilevsky, his .925 save percentage is good for third best in the NHL. The goals against average is .250. That looks a little high, but the goal scoring is up across the league, everybody. Right now, the best goals against average is right around 2.1, 2.15, somewhere in there. Just 5 years ago, if you had a 2.1 goals against average, you would be seventh best in the league. That's how many more goals are being scored this year in the National Hockey League. That the seventh best goals against average from just five years ago is now the best in the game. So a 2.5 goals against is not bad at all. The .925 save percentage is the key number there. Three shutouts for Vassie. He's been above average for most of the time, spectacular some of the time. But if you're talking about 28 games played through 49 for the team, he's on pace to be fresh and right for the postseason. So there it is, the exhaustive look at everybody on Tampa Bay's roster. I hope you enjoyed that. I think we've got a lot of things trending in the right direction. Victor Hedman's game looks good. Yanni Gord's game looks good. Steven Stamkos looks phenomenal. You can count on Kucherov every single night. In the trending down direction, Dan Girardi, Ryan McDonough needs to shore up some stuff. Vassie's a little hot and cold. But the key number for us the second half of the season, we'll talk about it a little bit more on Thursday, is just how many high-level chances do we give up night in and night out? How much are we hanging Andre Vasilevsky out to dry? And how many goals do we need to score a night to win? Our goal differential is massive, but it could be better if we play better defensively. And I think that's got to be the key of the second half. There are going to be a lot more 3-2 finishes in the second half of the season with as tight as the Eastern Conference is. There are a ton of teams playing with a lot of desperation every night. So I think they're going to tighten up the neutral zone. There won't be as much space, and we better be prepared to that end. So before I let you go, I'm going to give you a new track you guys like. So many of you liked Israel Nash from a couple weeks ago that I want to play this song for you. His name is Brian Scartacci. This is a guy out of Austin, Texas. He was the front man for a group called Austin Heat that I saw. The really obscure band. Like, you wouldn't be able to find these guys unless you went to, like, their Facebook page. But this group, Austin Heat, they played at a place called the Skylark Lounge in Austin, Texas a couple years ago. And we saw them, my girlfriend and I, on a random Friday night. And this guy's voice sounded like the second coming of Sam Cooke. And I'm not, you'll hear it in a second for yourself. But I thought to myself, okay, so Friday night, like a second or third rate joint. It's not a huge music stop like Antone's, or you want to play Willie Nelson's place, the City Limits, or any of their big centers. No, it's just like a dive bar, and here's this guy kicking ass. I mean, he's phenomenal. His voice is so gifted. His YouTube video that I'm going to play from here has 227 views as of this play. I don't know how it's somebody this talented doesn't get more run, but we'll talk more on Thursday on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I hope you enjoy this track on the way out. Bill Curry Ford, thank you so much for supporting this program in Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. Enjoy this, everybody. Brian Scartacci, the song is Days of Glory. You can find it on YouTube. Happy Monday, Tampa Bay. We'll talk to you next time.
Stone cold shakedown, a nervous breakdown. That's what it's gotta be. Sure, I'm half blind. One half works fine. My eyes don't lie to me. Let me reach for my whiskey. Please don't mind if I try something. Sure. Let me express this time. I truly want you so. We kneel in days of glory. I'm getting mine. Please come get mine. Meet me here in a blaze of glory. La da da. La da da. Bye bye, baby blue. I'll find a color brand new. I feel I've got to. Sun. Baby, I need it too. So let me reach for my whiskey. Please don't mind if I try something frisky. I'm inclined to tell you. While I confess, sometimes I sing these words for show. Let me express this time. I truly need your soul. Getting mine, please come get mine. Meet me here.
come get mine. Meet me here in a blaze of glory. La la la. No. Rising up in me.